as you have probably heard, more and more people get their news and information from social media these days. So the question is, how do you know what to trust and what not to trust? Here with some tips and tricks, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. It's such an important topic, especially with Election Day approaching, right?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. And you're right, Election Day, it's what, 5 weeks away from today. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for people to be misled, and misinformation and disinformation, they're everywhere.
All right, let's dive right in. First, remind us again about the difference, because there is a difference between misinformation and disinformation, and why the difference matters.
Yeah, definitely important. Both are bad. Both are forms of false information, but they do, as you said, they do matter, because misinformation refers to false or inaccurate information that gets shared. No one's trying to deceive you. It just gets shared, and then it becomes viral, and it's out there. Someone might mistakenly share an outdated news article, and they think it's current, something like that. But disinformation is deliberately created and disseminated with the intent to mislead or manipulate others. So that's when you see information being fabricated, or they twist facts for political or financial gain.
So to be a smart consumer of news and information, what are some red flags to look out for when you see news or information from any source?
Yeah, and it's a great question. There are several things that I always consider, and I like to think of it as a checklist that you're always checking. So, for example, check the source. Is it a reputable news organization, or are you looking at an unknown website? Check the date. Is the information current, or are we seeing old stories being recirculated? That happens a lot. Be wary of sensational headlines. If something seems too outrageous to be true, it very well might be. Watch for emotional manipulation. Does the post you're reading, are you getting angry or scared because they try to do that to you on purpose? And check for unusual account activity. You want to be careful about accounts that are very new or post unusually high amounts of content all at once.
There was a story the other day about consumers getting news from TikTok. And when you see these lists of where people get news, Facebook, other social media sites, TV networks, newspapers are usually not on the top of that list anymore, are they?
They're not. And, you know, the reason for that is because social media and apps like TikTok are convenient. People get so much stuff from you. Use them for everything, and that's exactly why the reputable sources are often pushed off the list.
All right, back to types of misinformation. What specifically should we be watching for?
I would watch for some common themes, and you know, election-related misinformation is definitely a big deal, especially right now. So things like voting procedures or locations, misleading information about that, manipulated images or videos of political figures. You might have heard the term deepfake. That is where that falls. False claims about voter fraud and rigged elections. You know, that's that narrative that's out there. Fake endorsements or statements attributed to candidates. Just because an advertisement says a candidate said something doesn't mean they did. You should do your research. And there's conspiracy theories about appearance. All those things put together become misinformation and disinformation.
Talking with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg about misinformation and disinformation, and we often talk about Googling to make sure something is accurate. Is that what you recommend, Scott?
For the most part, I do, Bob, but incorrect information, especially around elections, they can also make its way into search results. So I would make it a habit across the board, whether it's election-related or anything else, just to take it with a grain of salt. Take an extra second to ask yourself, and you can still Google, yes, but take an extra second to ask yourself the question, does this make sense?
Yeah, sounds simple.
Yet it's so complicated, and I'll tell you why. One of the biggest shifts that we have gone through as humans since the advent of the internet, and it's been a long time now, is our attention span. Like, you know, we're always in a rush to get things done. We're always multitasking. And in this case, the reason why it becomes complicated is people rarely read. They skim. They look for ways to get everything done and to check it off the list. And when we skim things without reading, we really miss some very important things.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because when we talk about TikTok being a big source of news, especially for young people, in that case, you're really getting maybe one line, and then someone will just go to the next post. And it's not just young people guilty of that. We all tend to do that in our rush of daily activities, don't we?
We do. And the thing in the case of TikTok is, for some people, that is literally enough. It's because of what we're talking about, skimming. They get their one line of news and they think that's all the news they need and they're done for the day. And that's where we run into trouble.
All right. So what can we do to protect ourselves from misinformation overall, whether we're talking about elections or anything else?
It's a great question. That's a great way of putting it. So here are some ways I would do that. So diversify news sources, exactly what we were just talking about with TikTok. Don't rely solely on social media for news. Use fact-checking websites. Snopes is still out there. Factcheck.org is still out there. Two very reputable websites that can really help get to the bottom of what's real and what's not. Develop a healthy skepticism. I always refer to this one as embrace common sense. If something seems off, I bet you it is. And take your time. Don't rush to share information before verifying it. That is exactly where misinformation comes in. And we talked about Googling a few minutes ago, and that fits perfectly here.
Yeah, and again, part of this problem is the wilder the information, the more chance it is of going viral. That's how it works, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. And you know what the sad thing is? We're talking here about elections, but everything that just happened with Hurricane Helene and all of the things you're seeing about the flooding, a lot of that stuff is not real. And it's because people are trying to spread and get this misinformation and disinformation out there.
All right. Any advice for navigating social media right now?
For sure. One, it's okay to be unsure, and a lot of people don't realize that. If you feel unsure or uneasy about something you've seen online, take a pause before you react or before you share. You can reach out to trusted friends, you can reach out to family, reputable sources, and actually verify information. Unfortunately, decorum isn't a priority these days. You know, misinformation and disinformation, they used to be a thing that we could fight. Now they're a part of life. And in some cases, people spend a lot of time and go through great effort just to expose you to it. And sadly, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but it's become our job to filter through all the garbage out there to find the treasure. So I think if I had to summarize all of that, I would say be curious. Stay skeptical and always stay informed.
And now with AI, video and audio can be altered. This is harder than ever now, isn't it, to stay informed?
It is so hard. And I remember the days fondly when you and I used to talk about, here are some simple steps you can take to battle misinformation and disinformation. And what you just said puts the cherry on that. It's just, there's no way to do that anymore. We've just been overwhelmed by these tools.
And can these social media platforms do a better job of policing, or is it just too much to ask?
It is too much to ask because of the way these platforms are currently structured. But if they did their due diligence and they really worked at it and they hired the right people and they actually used some of these AI tools for good, I bet you that there were ways that they could revamp it into something much more positive. It's just a matter of things are the way they are.
All right, let's open up the Genius Bar. A couple of questions for you. First, this text about what we're talking about today. When you delete a political text, does it help or hinder future political texts? Everybody's getting these messages now. You can delete, report as junk. Yeah. That doesn't seem to stop them, though, does it?
No, it doesn't stop them. And there's two things here. One, it's not going to change anything because it's coming from a single number. If you block that number and that number no longer has access, that's not going to change anything else that's happening. But so many of these people that send these text messages, they have, I don't even know, hundreds, thousands of numbers where the one that you block, the next one in succession pops up. So unless you keep hitting report junk until they run out of numbers, you're always going to be faced with those. So it's not going to, unfortunately, it's not going to change anything until the calendar passes election day.
Also, off our text line, can Bob ask Scott to recommend a few of the password management apps?
I always recommend the ones that either come with the browsers, because, yes, there are a lot of apps out there in the App Store that you can buy, but the ones that come with the browsers for 99% of us are really enough for all we need. And now in Apple's new version of iOS 18, they have an actual app, a password app, and it's really, really good. I'm somebody who can, I consider myself very, very tech savvy, and I'm using this app, and I think it's everything I could ever possibly need. So that's the kind of thing that I recommend, because it'll be easier for you and it'll give you the feature set.
A big story in the Wall Street Journal today about that headline, there are many reasons to use Apple's new password manager. The revamped app is free and pre-downloaded onto Apple devices with the latest software. And then there's an interesting statistic here. A password manager is hard to hack, but just 24% of people use one, according to one global survey. How come that is?
It's because people don't want to bother going through the process of setting it up and realizing what they need to do, which is the reason why I recommend the ones that come with it, because it's easier. And I would say this to people who are still on the fence. There's two camps when it comes to password managers. There's the smart and good enough, or the really, really advanced. I think a smart and good enough password manager is what you need to get to the 24% that are the ones that are only doing it. Are advanced features important? Absolutely. But are they required to stay safe? No. And that's why if you start with something like this and you realize this is not meeting my needs, maybe I need to look into something else, then I would take that step.
Scott Kleinberg, digital media strategist. Appreciate you keeping us informed on all this. You have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, Scott.
You too, Bob. Take care. Thanks.